Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Surviving Life, a series based on Genesis 39, verse 21. In this session, we'll be looking at Genesis 41, verses 37 to 52, the challenge of tragedy and triumph. Let's read our text in Genesis 41, beginning with verse 37. The advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out of the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now there were 7 plentiful years of ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food in the 7 cities which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain, as the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, "For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." And the name of the second he called Ephraim, "For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Joseph, Jacob's favorite of his 12 sons, was sold into slavery by his brothers. He became Potiphar's steward, then was thrown in jail, but he later became assistant to the jailer and eventually prime minister of Egypt. In each situation, Joseph rose the ladder from pit to penthouse, from rags to riches. At each stage, whether tragedy or blessing, he confronted temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God helped Joseph, and he will help you overcome the temptation that comes during both tragedy and triumph. First, God can help you overcome the temptations of tragedy. From hateful brothers to the cistern, as a slave and as a prisoner, Joseph faced the temptations of tragedy at every turn. In the tragedies of life, it's easy to ask, "Where is God?" When we face various issues, we face a whole set of related temptations. Let me give you a couple. Anger. Joseph was thrown in a pit and sold as a slave by his brothers. He could have become bitter. But bitterness always hurts the bitter one. The other is often unaware. Revenge. People do some wild, nasty stuff to get revenge. When his brothers went to Egypt, Joseph could have had them jailed, killed, and or tortured. But he didn't. Doubt. When things weren't going his way, Joseph could have asked, "Where's God now? He knows what's happening here. Doesn't he care?" Forsake God. Joseph could have said, "I'll not follow him if he allows this to happen to me. I'll worship Egyptian, the world's gods, instead." The answer to facing temptations in tragedy has two parts. First, keep your life in the proper perspective. Job 13:15. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him." Esther 14:4. "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish." 2 Corinthians 4:7-12. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you." Philippians 1:20. "According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." And then James 1:2-4. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And then second, keep your mind focused on Jesus. We hate to admit it, but having a clear focus means missing out on some very interesting things. Things often not good. And then second, God can help you overcome the temptations of triumph. Despite his tragedies, Joseph was blessed with success at every turn in his life. He was Jacob's favorite son. He rose from slave to chief steward, and then from prisoner to prime minister. In his successes, he also faced temptations. Sometimes in success, people forget to ask, "What is God's plan?" When we experience success, we face a whole different set of temptations related to that success. And we can see some of them in Joseph's life. Arrogance, pride. You've heard it or felt it. You may have thought, "Look at me." Joseph had dreams and could interpret the dreams of others. He wore a multicolored coat. He moved up from steward to prime minister. He could have become arrogant. And then presumptuous sin. Often we think, "Things are going so well. I don't need to worry about God." That's our temptation. Some go on business trips or vacations and leave God behind. Presumptuous sin is doing something sinful knowing you can ask forgiveness. Joseph was alone, a stranger in a strange land. He could have yielded to temptations of sex, stealing, laziness, or retaliation. Or self-sufficiency. The self-made man or woman may think, "Look at me. See what I have done. I have accomplished so much. I don't need God. Joseph may have faced this temptation as he moved up the ladder of success in every circumstance he faced. And then on forgiveness. If anyone had reason to hold a grudge, Joseph did. He could have said to his brothers, I hold you accountable no matter what. I will show no mercy. You owe me for what you've done. Instead, he said to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. The answer to facing temptations in triumph is to keep your eyes on God and His will for your life. Let me ask you, are you facing temptations in your life because of some tragedy or some triumph? Make sure your focus is in the right place. Jesus. You have a great day.